Hey there, I'm Beth Connors, a midwife and mom of two, but also your birth bestie. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into everything you need to feel confident, prepared, and in control, from baby bump to delivery room, from practical tips to personal stories. We'll cover it all so you know exactly what to expect every step of the way. Let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 12 of Your Birth Bestie podcast. I'm here to support and empower you on your journey to a positive birth experience. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is self-advocating and effectively communicating your desires during pregnancy, labor, and postpartum. I want to help empower you to take control of your entire experience to motherhood, or if you're already a mom, to this new transition in your life. I will give you real strategies and practical advice to effectively make informed decisions using the rainbow method, which is not the brain method that maybe you've heard about before, or maybe it's new to you, so this is something new to learn, because that brain method is all backwards, and I will tell you why. And then we'll go over a few common birth scenarios, and I will share my advice for self-advocating in those situations. So let's get started. I hope this conversation helps you open your mind to the idea that you have a voice during your pregnancy and your birth, and that your voice is the most important, and you should have every opportunity to be informed and engaged throughout your entire journey. This is your basic birthright. Okay, so what does it look like to communicate your desires effectively? This may be to your partner or to your healthcare team, but it's important to know how to do these things so you can have the best experience possible. And even though we know self-advocacy is super important to have the best experience, I want you to remember that it's a practiced skill, and I don't want you to show up for your birth without having practiced these skills and expecting to be the best advocate for yourself, right? So here is my biggest piece of advice when it comes to having control of the room or staying in control of a situation. And I don't mean control as in having the power to influence the course of your birth. I mean the power to influence other people's behavior, to be in charge of a situation, and to be the one who's holding the cards. So my biggest piece of advice for creating that kind of atmosphere and for communicating effectively with perceived authority, like your care provider, is this. Take the emotion out of your words. Instead of getting hyped up, emotional, and defensive, remove all of that emotion and remove the tension. See your provider as a human being, not as an authority, and have the conversation with a human being, not with an authority figure. And if your provider is being maybe a little arrogant or talking down to you at all, don't let it be that way. And what I mean is, don't let the conversation play out like that. I want you to be so calm, steady, and so confident that you force a conversation to come to your level. I want you to force the conversation to be at your level of calm, because the one who is calm and the one who's not acting from an emotional and reactive place is the one who holds all the power, right? Remember that there is no higher authority than you over your birth. Never lose sight of that. Never lose your confidence that you know what's best for you and that you know what's best for your baby. And beyond that, never forget that you have the right to make whatever decision you want regarding your body and your baby's body. So when it comes to making decisions for yourself during your birth experience, I want to remind you that a lot of the logical birth prep that you've done is going to fly right out the window. And that's one of the reasons that I want that inner work, the mindset shifts, the intentional living and the intuitive living and the mindful living. I want all of that to be so second nature to you that by the time you give birth, you can call upon that part of you subconsciously. And a huge part of that is trusting yourself to make decisions based solely on your intuition, without even going into your logical brain. But we can't forget the informed part of the informed and intuitive decision making. So I wanted to take a minute here to remind you about the rainbow steps to decision making. And this is even more important for your partner to know inside and out. And it goes like this. You are faced with a predicament. You are faced with a situation that you feel needs a change of pace, or you're presented with an intervention for whatever reason. You need to remember rainbow. You are going to ask yourself, what are the risks to the intervention? What are the alternative options? What is your intuition telling you? What would happen if you do nothing? What are the benefits to the intervention? And then you need to remind yourself that you are not ever obligated to consent to any procedure, period. And then you need to ask yourself, what am I going to do? Those are the rainbow steps to your decision-making. And going off of that, I have two things that I want you to do regarding your preferences and learning to communicate them effectively. And both of them are with your partner or your support person. So the first thing I want you to do is to take two sticky notes. You get one and your partner gets one. And I want you to separately fill the sticky note with as many of your preferences as you can write down. Your partner will do the same thing. They will write them down without your input, exactly what they think your biggest preferences are and what your top priorities are for your birth. And after you've each filled the sticky note out, I want you to come back together and compare what you've each written down. And the goal here is really to figure out any holes in communication that you and your partner need to work through before your birth. What can you do? What conversations can you have to get to the same page about all of your birth preferences? So that is the first activity I want you to do after listening to this episode. And then the next one is practicing situations of birth. And I actually cover birth situations much further in my comprehensive online birth course, Hands Off Hospital Birth, because I think it's so important to be informed and ready for absolutely anything. The more you prepare and know ahead of time how you would react in any situation and what questions you would need to consider and things like that, the less overwhelming the situation should really be in that moment. So I thought it would be fun to go through a few different scenarios. You and your partner should talk through these things to be sure that you're on the same page when it comes to your birth preferences. It is also important to mention that what matters most here is that you remember that just because something is your preference right now in pregnancy doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be your preference when you're actually in labor. And what's most important is cultivating that trust in yourself that you'll be able to make the right decision when the time comes. So I'll list five scenarios and then talk about each of them. And there are 16 scenarios broken down in my program, so I did struggle choosing one for this episode because they're all just so important. So know that these are not the only scenarios to prepare for, and you can definitely get creative and, you know, prepare for things based on your unique situation. The first situation is where contractions and labor begin to slow down. And the question here is, if you're in labor and contractions have been getting closer together for many hours, but all of a sudden they slow down or completely space out, what should you do? And in this instance, if everyone is doing well, the best thing to do is to be patient and to try to rest. Really, two of the things that you will literally not want to hear in that moment is to rest and to be patient, but acknowledging the break that your body is giving you and using it as, you know, a time to recalibrate. If you are well rested and well nourished and you want to keep things moving, try changing positions often or using movement like walking, dancing, hip circles, things like that. But always make sure that you have something to eat and make sure that you're well hydrated. And really do whatever you can to keep that flow of oxytocin going by keeping the environment calm and relaxing. The next situation is determining if it's labor or not. So let's pretend that you are 38 weeks pregnant and have been feeling contractions for several hours. You time a couple of contractions and they're about 8 minutes apart and feel a little bit uncomfortable. So what would you do in this situation? And maybe it's an unpopular opinion, but being over 37 weeks, that's full term, you wouldn't need to be trying to stop labor, and the contractions, you know, are very spaced out. So honestly, at this point, just carry on with usual activities. I know many moms would want to go to OB triage to be checked or are, you know, counting their contractions with an app. That all just sounds very stressful and rises that cortisol level, that hormone, and reduces your oxytocin. So even if you were in the beginning stages of labor, all of a sudden your body is really tense and that hormone fluctuation just goes in the opposite direction that you want it to be, and it can actually hinder your labor from starting and cause the contractions to space out. So if you're not in labor or you don't think you're in labor yet and your water hasn't broken, it's usually safe to wait it out a while and to see what happens with those contractions and try not to obsess over how close together they are, especially if they're, you know, over 5 minutes apart. Of course, assessing for anything concerning that would warrant a call right away to your provider, but there's a lot that you can do in that time when it's really just those Braxton Hicks or those beginning stages of labor. So it could simply just be your body warming up and they might stop. Sometimes being active on your feet or dehydration can cause contractions. So I'd recommend drinking water, eating something, a small snack, resting, and just see what happens. Trying to stay calm and have low energy, because it could really just be days away, or it could be weeks even, but knowing that labor can happen at any time and saving the energy for labor. And this reminds me too, if you want a place to time contractions, there is an app called Contraction Counter, and it will notify you when the recommended time to go to the hospital is. But my recommendation here is to use your brain and don't blindly follow the app's advice though. Because with my last baby, this is just an example, but it happens to so many moms when their apps are telling them to come into the hospital, even though they don't think they're in labor yet, but they're just, you know, anxious and ready to meet their baby. I was feeling contractions every 2 to 3 minutes with, you know, mild pain. It wasn't really painful actually, just mild sensation. I started timing them, and as soon as I had a few contractions for 2 to 3 minutes, my app was telling me that I needed to go to the hospital literally after every contraction, but I wasn't feeling anything at all. I was just feeling that mild tightening. So I wasn't uncomfortable at all. My bag of water was still intact. So there was no way that I was heading to the hospital like that, because they could have just admitted me and it would have just turned into an induction when I wasn't ready. My body wasn't ready. Turns out at that point, after 10 hours of contractions every 2 to 3 minutes, I fell asleep that night, woke up, was not in labor, and I didn't have my daughter for like a week later. So timing contractions can be helpful, but not in all cases. Next, let's talk about the pressure to induce. Such a huge topic, and so many moms are getting induced for unnecessary reasons, likely due to provider and patient convenience. So let's think about this. Let's say that you are 41 weeks and your care provider wants to induce your labor. What questions can you ask to help you make an informed decision? So first I would ask, what is the concern? Is there a medical reason for this induction, or is an induction being offered simply for being 41 weeks? If you want to hear more about inductions and your options, how to avoid an induction, and if you choose an induction, how to make it a positive experience, check out episode 9. I just released an episode and we talk all about inductions. I would also ask what type of medication they want to use and how the induction will be done. What is the plan? Also, what alternative or natural methods might be an option? And remember to listen to your gut through all of this, and that you never have to consent to anything at all. I also have heard many times that a provider wants to schedule the induction at your 36-ish week appointment for an induction at 39 or 40 weeks. So it's in the books, you know, so it's scheduled. You can decline even scheduling it, or you can agree to just go along knowing that you might have more questions when it gets to be sooner, and you can address them then. You can also just not show up to your induction, because just because it's scheduled doesn't mean you're required to go. And I'm not saying go against medical advice for an induction no matter what, but if this is a situation that you find yourself in, you can call the nurse line at the hospital and tell them that you are canceling the appointment, and you don't have to, you know, give an excuse or a reason why you're not showing up. It's really courtesy to call in case someone else could take your spot, but it's not even a requirement to call and give them a heads up. So many moms do no-show for their inductions, but I don't think that's the fault on moms. I really think, if anything, it shows poor communication between the provider and their patient. Because if an induction is scheduled, parents should be adequately prepared for the entire process, including knowing what induction method is recommended and the fact that it can take like 2 to 3 days or even more to have your baby after the induction is started. I would love so much if providers would educate their patients in the clinic before going to the hospital for their induction and answering all their questions and creating a plan together, going through risks and benefits of each and the options, just so the patient is completely comfortable when they are admitted to the hospital. Because I have seen so many times moms coming in for an induction, they don't know what the induction is for, they don't know what, you know, is about to happen when they're in the hospital, and each step is just that much more difficult to cope with, and you're just really part of the system at that point, and they are doing what they think is really best when that is not necessarily what's best for your individual values and your goals for your birth. So I just want you to have all the choices in the world and be able to really tailor your own birth experience to exactly what you need and what you want. So now let's talk about giving permission for a procedure or intervention. And the example here is During a cervical check, your doctor asked the nurse to hand him an AmniHook so that he can break your bag of water. He hasn't said anything to you at all or asked for your consent. So what would you do in this situation? And really, this should never happen because your informed consent is important every step of the way. But some things are so routine to providers that it's just standardized to them when they aren't questioned. But the absence of a no is never yes, right? No one should be touching you or breaking your bag of water without your consent. Ask your provider to stop, blatantly just say stop, and ask them to explain what they're doing. Your partner and your doula, if you have one, can also speak up and directly ask you if you want your water broken or if you'd rather not. And to prevent this from ever happening, even though this might seem super obvious, but when you're first admitted, make sure that your nurse and your provider know that you would like everything explained to you before it's done so you can fully be present and in control of your birth. It should be like this anyways, but just as a gentle reminder that you are the one making the decision can be helpful. And the last scenario I want to mention is all about an unknown provider. So let's say that you have discussed your preferences for labor and birth and are in agreement with your care provider, but when you arrive at the hospital or birth center in labor, the provider on call is somebody that you have never met before. He introduces himself and asks if you have any questions. So what can you do in this situation to ensure that your preferences will still be met? And this is something I always talk through with each of my clients because more often than not, your hospital provider, whether it's an OB or midwife, is part of a group and they all rotate being on call. So you really just get whoever is already there at the hospital when you go into labor. There really is just no way for preparing for that. But if you have a written document with your preferences, and you totally should, you can ask if there's anything in it that the provider would find difficult or concerning. And if there's any red flags at all, or you're just uncomfortable with this provider, you can ask if somebody else is available. Do not compromise on your birth preferences to save yourself from some short-term social tension. And really the best way to go about this is just by being open and honest with your nurse. And if you don't feel comfortable even talking to your nurse, you can ask to speak to the charge nurse. Usually there's somebody there that is able to really advocate for you and arrange things so that you are the most comfortable and the right team is caring for you. I just don't want you to ever feel stuck with the provider that's caring for you because there should be another person, most likely, there available to you if you come across the situation. Hopefully it never happens, but just know that you can ask questions, you can ask for somebody different if it's not a good fit. And I truly hope this never happens to you, but if it does, I hope you have the confidence to speak up for yourself and really advocate for your goals, for your experience. And those are just a few of the scenarios, but I have many more that expecting parents find helpful when preparing for their hospital birth. So to work out those things ahead of time and for additional support and guidance, definitely check out my hands-off hospital birth course. You can enroll at any time in just the course portion, but July 19th through July 26th is when I will be opening up a private VIP community for expecting parents and a free one-on-one power prep call with me for anyone who purchases that week only. There is a link in the show notes to see what the program entails, and I will definitely be talking about this more in the upcoming weeks. And that is all for today's episode of Your Birth Bestie Podcast. I think it's so important to repeat this again because no matter the outcome, as long as your wishes were heard and you feel good about each decision throughout your pregnancy, labor, and birth, you can be at peace that things unfolded as they needed to, no matter what. We cannot control birth, but we can control how we perceive the experience to be. So definitely take some time to sit down with your partner and work through practice situations together. And also remember that you already have everything you need to give birth to your baby. You are capable of the birth of your wildest dreams. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next Tuesday.